Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm award-winning singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcy Novelli, founder of the electronic rock band Midnight Soundtrack.
This week, we are joined by multi-award-winning actor, producer, and musician Joshua Lee Young. Joshua has built a strong following on YouTube with his vlogs and has starred in numerous short films and web series, including The Social Experiment, I'll Meet You Back There, Royals, and Invisible Rockstars. He also starred in NCIS and Dexter and does acting work for Investigation Discovery.
His acting has won him multiple awards, including Best Actor at the 2013 Boston International Film Festival and the 2014 London Independent Film Festival, and the New Talent Award at the 2014 Hong Kong Asian Film Festival. Joshua is working on numerous new projects at the moment, and we're looking forward to hearing all about them and how he's using YouTube and other social platforms to help carve his career in the creative industries. So, hey, Joshua, how's it going?
Man, I need you guys with me everywhere I go to just introduce me to people. That was amazing. Like, after your introductions, I was worried. I'm like, how am I going to follow that? But you did it for me.
You followed it.
Well, you've done a lot of stuff. So, you know, yeah, we don't make this stuff up. This is all true. Yeah,
we just make up all our introductions. We're like, total fake. So Joshua, tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Oh, gosh. That caught me off guard for a second. Three things that everyone should know. Batman, Goku, and Netflix.
Can you explain a little bit on each of them?
I just kind of made that up on the spot. Okay, three real things about me. I used to volunteer at a daycare and kindergarten class. And this kindergarten class was at a Thai temple, and all the kids spoke Thai. I didn't speak Thai, so there was sort of that language barrier there, which kind of was a throwback for me, because when I was younger in kindergarten, I didn't speak English. And, I was raised by the Asian half of my family, so none of them spoke English. I just spoke Chinese. And I got yelled at the first day of school for going to the bathroom without asking for permission.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And second day of school, I just pissed myself on the floor because I didn't want to get yelled at again. And that's when they're like, oh, this little white kid only speaks Chinese for some reason. We should probably put him in a class with Chinese kids. So, yeah, that's one of the main things. I get way too addicted to video games. Too easily.
What are you playing right now?
There's this game. Okay, are you familiar with MOBA games like League of Legends?
Those. Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, know of them.
Yeah, so I was playing those like 14 hours a day on the PC, and I'm like pointing over at my PC like you guys can see it. I uninstalled it from my PC to get away from it, but I ended up downloading like an identical game on my iPad, so there's just no running from it anymore.
It's following you on each device.
Yeah, yeah. And Netflix, 12 hours a day. That's my life.
That's cool. Impressive.
Yeah, 12 hours.
I say impressive hesitantly because I don't know if it's productive, but
I have like three monitors here, so I often have Netflix going on while I'm doing other work. It's like background noise, or like you're kind of watching something that you don't need to like watch all the time. Like, you know, not something you want to sit there and like fully watch, but you want to have on, you know, that's what or documentaries or something like that. I feel like you don't have to sit there and watch a documentary all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But then sometimes you catch yourself like, wait, what did they say? You rewind it. You rewind a little too much. So you go and look at your email and then you miss it again. You're like, damn it. And you end up rewinding like six times.
You end up watching like 3 hours worth of a 1 hour documentary.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you've been building a following on YouTube for the past years. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing on there? And also tell us a little bit about how it's helped generate work for yourself as an actor and a producer.
Okay. First and foremost, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm kind of just like pretending to know what I'm doing. I on YouTube, I mainly focus on comedy. I did introduce music at once and then I got busy, but I'm going to be reintroducing music again. So it's going to be primarily comedy and music. Now, how it's generated work for me is that I've had writers and producers and different directors, they've come across my videos for whatever reason it may be, whether, you know, their daughter had watched my video and thought, hey, dad, look at this guy. And then they'll look into me more and they're like, oh, this guy's an actor or something like that. Or I also have two web series that are posted on there. So then there's some of the acting that's in there as well. And yeah, I suppose it's just coincidence or internet randomness that.
Well, how important, I know that you post a video every week. I think it's on Thursday, right?
Yes.
And how important has that been in building up your audience and fan base, do you think?
I think it's been really important in not so much, I think it's more important in keeping the fan base that you have, because on the internet, it's so easy for people to just forget about you because there's always somebody else who's going to be better than you at something. So you kind of have to step up your game every week. And if you don't do that, people forget. Now, if they remember you, then there's a chance of that traditional word of mouth where they go to class and like, oh, yeah, so-and-so just released a video. He's so funny. He does it every week. Whereas if you do it like once every 3-4 months, which is kind of what I did at the beginning, and it was a very slow build. But as soon as I became consistent, doing it every single week or every other week, they had something to come back to, and people stuck around, and more people talked about it.
Well, I've got a good question. Why did you pick Thursday?
Why did I pick Thursday?
Because I know that when we were deciding which day to release, like we do it every Tuesday, and when we were deciding what day to release it, there was a lot of thought put into that, actually, based on, you know, when we think people would be most likely to watch an interview, you know, the life of that interview, because being able to promote it throughout the week, because the weekend's kind of a drop down. People don't really, you know, they're not looking, there's not as much advertising going on in the weekend, I think, in the internet world, you know what I mean? What was your thought process behind that?
Well, my thought process isn't necessarily the smarter method of deciding which day of the week. My thought process was I sort of just Googled and looked for statistics on when people are online the most, just people in general.
That's what we did.
So so one of the things for me was, I think Thursday at noon was one of the things that popped up. I think there was another day that was a Monday where it also popped up. But my friend, we used to have similar fan bases because we kind of started from the same place, and he uploaded his videos on Mondays. So I figured I don't want to fight for the spotlight with him. You know, so I'll pick a different day. And some of my other friends who were much more successful YouTubers than me at the time, because I picked the schedule a while back, it's probably changed. So they upload their videos on Thursdays because that's where they get the most success. So I figured, well maybe I'll do the same thing.
Yeah, Ross, maybe we should consider
maybe we should move our day.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we did the same. We kind of did our research on different, you know, statistics. And it's funny that so many different websites give such different statistics. And it's also based on if you're doing video or if you're doing a blog or, you know, what time of day. There's so much to it. For us, we kind of just wanted to get it out earlier in the week so that we can promote it throughout the week. But we felt that Monday, like a lot of people like kind of the Monday blues, they don't really, I feel like a lot of people don't want to sit down and watch something like that. But again, like that's just my thought. Like you said, your friend's been doing it on Mondays and it's been going well for him. So it's not a perfect science.
I think you would have to tailor it to yourself. So you can go and you can check your own analytics and then see which days and times your videos are being watched. And then
absolutely.
Just
based on your fan base, their location, the demographic, everything. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Definitely. Thanks. So you've got a lot of film and TV projects coming up. I was on your IMDb and it was just like so many things in pre-production, post-production, filming, lots of stuff. So I know you've got Invisible Rock Stars, I'll Meet You Back Then, Red Hood Reborn. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about the projects and what we can expect from
them? Okay, Yeah, sure. Invisible Rock Stars is basically about, you know, most, not all of us, unfortunately, but most of us kind of grew up being told that we can do whatever we want to do as long as we set our mind to it or as long as we try. But it's right around after you graduate from high school and you're in college, you start to realize that that's not necessarily true. Like I can't become president or I can't become Brad Pitt or something like a rock star. Not everybody can become that. And that's the movie's about how you deal with that realization and like where does life go on after that. And it revolves around these four characters. They're all friends and they go about life the way everyone else does. It's not something that's, you know, lights and fashion and all this glamour. It's about real people and what they really go through. And it's very relatable. Now, for I'll Meet You Back Then, this one's about... I don't want to give away too much because there's like a bunch of plot twists in it. But it's basically about a husband who feels guilty about his wife dying. He thinks it's because of him neglecting her. And he finds a way to go back in time. And from the day that she dies, he goes back to the day before and then the day before that. And each day, he's trying to make it up to her, becoming a better husband. But he starts to realize that he's going a day backwards. So everything that he does, he doesn't think it matters because only he remembers. She doesn't remember. So then that puts him in a slump. And then there's much more drama later on. And we'll wait till everybody watches the movie to find out what happens.
I like that. I love time travel movies.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun working on it.
I bet.
And I feel like I'm horrible at explaining these movie plots.
You're hooking me. You're hooking
me. Okay, good. Sometimes I don't know if like people are just thinking, gosh, shut up already, or if they're actually interested.
Such an actor is thinking, second guessing everything you're saying and doing.
My entire life, second guess. And Red Hood is actually, are you familiar with the whole Batman family?
A little bit, kind of. I don't want to say yes because then you're going to ask me something and I'll be like, look, you caught me out. I've got no idea. But I know a tiny bit.
Okay. So Batman and Robin, there's actually five Robins in total. And the first Robin becomes, you know, he becomes Nightwing. And then the second Robin, he gets killed by the Joker. Spoiler alert for anyone who doesn't bother.
Oops.
So he comes back to life as Red Hood because he dons Joker's, you know, original alias, which Joker used to be called Red Hood. So he takes the name of his killer and he comes back and basically just goes on this rampage in Gotham, like killing all these mafia bosses and gangsters and everything, just like wiping the city clean the way he thinks Batman should be doing. And Robin number three is Tim Drake, and he's sort of the detective one out of the whole group. And so Red Hood, the series that I'm attached to, it's focused around Batman family and all the crooks around there. But the lead is Red Hood, you know, the Robin who gets killed and comes back. And I'm attached as Tim Drake, the third Robin.
Nice. Are you excited? Well, not you excited. You already shot it. How was it shooting that one?
We're actually still shooting it. We shot a lot of it, but we're shooting the sequel to it. So it's a lot of fun. I've always wanted to play a comic book hero my entire life. That's just one of the things. That and being a Power Ranger. Like, those are my two life goals. So,
Power Rangers, oh yeah.
Yeah. So this is probably one of the more fun roles that I've had since the start of my career. Because how cool is that? To be able to just be one of your heroes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think it gets much more awesome than that, unless you're actually them. You know, playing them is great, yeah. But then the next level would be actually being them.
Now we're blurring the lines between reality and fiction. Okay. I like that. That's my whole life. So besides an actor, you're also a musician, and you're working on some new music. You said you'd be starting to incorporate music on your YouTube channel a bit more again, like you used to in the beginning. can you give us a bit of a sneak peek as to what's to come?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so right now I do have some music that's on Spotify, iTunes, and SoundCloud. And I'm just in the middle of transitioning that stuff over to YouTube, where I can actually film videos for it. But I'm also working on a new album, and this is actually my first album. And I know I just said I already had some music, but the music that I have online right now, they're covers, and the only original that I have online is actually on a friend's album. I was a featured artist on the song. So this is going to be my own album, and it's my first, and I'm really excited about it. And this is going to be, it's more pop to pop punk type feel. I don't know if you're into that. But that's where
sure, yeah, absolutely. Going. Yeah, that must be exciting. I know the feeling of putting out your first original piece of music, you know, a collection of songs, and you just must be so stoked.
I am. And I don't want to be one of those people who are just like, you know, this song, man, this album is going to be different. All right? Like, it's going to be like...
Well, wait till you no get like your second or third. You can be like, it's so much better than the first one. And then like when you're fifth or sixth album in, you can be like, it's going back to our roots, because everyone says that.
Yeah.
But yeah, how many songs are going to be on? Is it a full-length album, an EP? What is it?
The first album is going to be a 5-song EP. I might change that. Yeah, I'm still in the process of writing and recording some of them, so I might add more. But right now, I'm set on 5 songs for now.
Cool. Very much. And do you find that the 5 songs, is it going to have like a few different flavors of you, or is it all one consistent sound?
Sound-wise, I believe it's going to be slightly consistent with variation, because I like a lot of different genres. So yeah, each song I might add something different. I from the last song, I was like, you know what? I really wish I had this in the last song. I'll put it in this next one.
Right.
I feel like story-wise, though, each song is going to be quite different and almost a completely different personality. I didn't realize how many different sides to my personality that I had until I was looking at the story behind each story. I was just like, man.
The actor makes sense.
Yeah, but like my mind goes to some twisted places sometimes.
Nice.
Like, what was I thinking when I wrote this?
Well, you know, do you have any, I'd love to know if you have any funny audition stories. We recently had another actor on that said nowadays a lot of auditions are happening via Skype, like via online. You know, have you had any experiences like that? And can you share any funny audition stories with us?
Funny audition stories. I don't think I have a funny audition story at the moment. I do know that there was like a funny experience with someone that had cast me without an audition.
Okay, tell us about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to know.
Okay, so I met this producer at a red carpet event. And I feel like this guy could be a Batman character. He can easily be a Batman. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you have a different opinion. Anyway, so this is what he does, or this is what he did. And I actually saw him doing this to everyone else afterwards. Not everyone, but every time he thought someone had a good look, he would go to them and he would basically be doing the same thing. And I would just be behind him, miming him, doing the exact same thing, but he'll go up to you and be like, I got this book. It's a werewolf book. And you have a great look. And the conversation just goes from there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cast you in... Was it a film, TV?
What was it? Yeah. What did you get cast in?
It's a film. It's a 6-part film. So there's 2 books that are already released. You know, the whole saga thing that Twilight, Harry Potter...
Like, right.
Those big franchises are doing. It's called Hidden Valley. And... gosh, he's probably going to hate me after watching this. Because I just totally called him out. But I just plugged his book, Hidden Valley, The Awakening. That's his first book. And yeah, so That's the movie project that I was cast in.
Oh, I love that. I love it, yeah. Man.
Thanks.
You ready for 20 questions?
20 questions, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Coffee or tea?
Tea. I lied. Did I? I don't know.
You can like both, it's okay.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
YouTube or Netflix?
That's not one.
Oh, it's not a good one. Uh-oh.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Pizza or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Los Angeles or New York?
Los Angeles.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Friends.
Pokemon or Dragon Ball Z?
Oh, Dragon Ball Z.
I'm surprised. I've seen you with lots of little Pikachus everywhere.
That seemed painful.
I was so sure that
really
Pokemon was
going to
be good.
I really felt like you got metaphorically like just stabbed in the stomach there. You know, it was just like,
I was torn.
Painful.
I still have my Pokemon card collection.
Vampires or zombies?
Zombies.
Canada or Scotland?
Don't put me in that position, man.
It's already done.
Canada's closer, I guess.
There you go. Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Go ahead, please.
Three things that when you asked me to describe myself with three things, the first thing I said was Batman. The second thing I said was Goku. And the third thing I said was Netflix. So I'm being consistent right
now. Yeah, you are.
Go on.
The Walking Dead or American Horror Story?
The Walking Dead.
Risk or Monopoly?
Monopoly.
Breaking Bad or Homeland?
Breaking Bad.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Do you know who Michael Bolton is?
I was going to say, do you know who that is?
Because we had another guest who's similar age to you.
Okay.
And she didn't know who he
was.
It's
okay. Listen, the only reason we know who Michael Bolton is because we're like late 20s. I'm 30. Ross is 73.
Wait, let me Google him right now. I probably know him. I just don't know his name.
So basically,
You will know him.
The only reason we know him is because our moms used to be in love with him in the late 80s when we were kids. And we were forced to listen to his music. I was forced to listen to music. Ross enjoyed listening to his music.
I still choose to listen to the odd track of Michael Bolton from now and then. He did the theme of Hercules, so that might be one that you may be familiar with if you hear it.
Yeah. All right, let's carry on.
Education or experience?
Right. I'll just listen to it later and be like, oh yeah, that guy!
You're going to love him. So education or experience?
Experience.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin.
It's one of like maybe four or five ticks that Ricky Martin has got.
I'm kind of sorry. I thought it would be a little close. I thought maybe be you know sort of 50-50 between Gervais and Martin, but nope. Gervais is kind of killing
Gervais
it.
Gervais is killing it.
You and should, I recently converted to Gervais from Martin.
Finally.
I grew up on Ricky Martin. I got to stay loyal to the guy.
There you go.
Whale or kale?
What was the first one?
Whale.
Like in the ocean, a whale?
I feel like I'm saying whale really weird.
You are
now.
Saying, it's because you're British. You say
but
whale.
No, see when I said it the second time, I was very conscious that it was kind of like that Family Guy episode with Cool Whip.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Whale.
I never say it like that.
Whale.
I'm like completely doubting my existence now.
Which one is it?
Which one?
Whale.
Whale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Riddler.
And finally, sorry for this, but you're going to have to pick between moi or...
When you went like that, you're talking to like...
No. Marcio or Ross? Or Ross or Marcio? Which one?
I'm going to go with Ross because his name's way easier to pronounce.
Yes.
Yeah, there's always an easy scapegoat reason to go to him. Okay, Joshua, I'll pretend like that didn't totally break my heart. Could you give a little bit of advice for people who want to build up an audience on YouTube?
Yeah, most definitely. There's a lot. I don't know. Okay, I'll just start listing them.
Yeah.
Is it just for YouTube only or for like acting as well or anything?
Well, that
else?
As well. That's kind of, I guess, together as well as separate. Like someone who wants to get themselves in front of casting agents using YouTube and other social channels is kind of something we could talk about. But also just someone who just wants to build up a YouTube channel on their own.
Okay. Okay. I believe this also works for YouTube as well. YouTube and acting, I think that one of the first things you want to do is get a manager. More so for acting, you need to get a manager. I'm not that experienced with music, so I don't know what to say about that, but one of the first things I did for music was get a manager. Now, the manager can help you build your team, whatever that may consist of, whether it's someone to edit your stuff or someone to help you promote things or a publicist, things like that. The manager can help you with branding, you know, what kind of style you want to go for and how you want to brand yourself, your image, and just basically guide your career. Now, there's multi-channel networks out there that can partner your channel. You should do your research. Make sure you go with a good one. You don't want to get stuck in the contract where they do nothing for you, and you could, at this whole time, you could have been with somebody else who actually helps you out. Some multi-channel networks have requirements of what size you have to be for them to help you look for brand deals, but some will just help you at whatever level you're at. The point is, those managers are going to be the ones to help you find brand deals. There are other websites like FameBit that I think their minimum is 1,000 subscribers, but you can Google it. Google that stuff. You can Google most of the questions you have. So that's one of the first things. I think another thing, one of the second thing should be building your credentials. Do whatever you can. Try to get some experience under your belt, you know? Go out to those indie auditions. Those are usually less competitive than big studio films. Same with, you know, building your following. I feel like that's part of your credentials as well. And the third thing, polish your talents. I don't want to list these as, like, order of importance.
I was going to say, yeah, because that should be number one.
Yeah. If I said that this is one of the first things you need to do, just scratch that. These are all the things you need to do. Do in the order which you can. I don't know what's more important. You can judge it on your own. But yeah, definitely polish your talents and just consistently create content. Because what I've noticed from just everyone that I've met, because I've met a lot of YouTubers this year, and everyone has been telling me that they've grown the best when they stayed consistent. You know, you're followers or your viewers, whatever you want to refer to them as, they know that they can come back to something and they know when to come back to something. It's like Game of Thrones saying they're going to release an episode this Sunday and they don't. And everyone is flipping their heads off like, what is going on? But, you know, they stay consistent just like every major network. So you kind of have to treat it as a business if you want to go about it this way. I think a part-time job is, unless you have money, that if you don't already have the money, then you have to make money. And acting, music, and YouTube is definitely not something that is just going to right away help you make money. It's sort of something that you have to build. So having a part-time job is going to help you with your startup. And this will keep you from becoming overly desperate for that next gig and save you from making a lot of bad decisions. I believe that's all the advice I have at the moment.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Clear and simple. So everyone can go check you out on your website, which is joshualeeyoung.com. And you have consistent branding, so we spoke about that. Twitter and YouTube is both /joshualeeyoung, which is wonderful. Everyone needs to go check them out on there. And I'm currently writing my next solo album and just recently released my side project, Midnight Soundtracks debut album, Foreplay. You can hear my music on marcianovelli.com. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, which are all /marcianovelli.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram at electrickiwi and on Facebook, electrickiwidesign.
And this episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton Presents. Find out more about what Chris does and how he can help you at chriskeaton.com.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show, visit bridge-the-atlantic.com/sponsors.
Awesome, man. This has been great. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Come back again.
Welcome. No, looking forward to it.
Awesome. Oh.
before you
let before your, we wrap your, up your,
before you wrap up, everyone who heard about their social media handles, make sure you go out of your way and turn on their notifications. That way you always get an alert every time they post something important.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, absolutely. That's something that, especially on Facebook, I don't think people realize that if you like someone's page, you won't necessarily ever see anything they post unless you actually click get notifications, because Facebook wants to make our lives very difficult.
Hey, every social media platform, they show it to maybe 1% of the people that have you added.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for that point. We actually might start including that in our ending there. All right, buddy, come back again, okay? Thank you so much.
You're
right.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.